you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 150 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host, as usual. Today, my guest is somebody that, to be honest with you, I've been stalking for a while. You know, I pay a lot of attention to social media and things like YouTube channels and in the podcast space and the entrepreneurial space. And there's a lady who, if you stick around long enough, you're going to run across her, and she's just delightful. Her name is Tamara Thompson, and she runs a business called Serious Take Productions. And as the name implies, it's a serious production company for all kinds of entrepreneurs and businesses. And they have quite a few attorneys as clients. And I finally got up the gumption to reach out to Tamara and ask her if she would be kind enough to appear on our show. And thankfully, she was ready, willing, and able. So you're going to hear this delightful conversation about how to incorporate video into everything you do as an attorney and the ramifications of choosing not to, if that's what you do. I wouldn't suggest that. I would say, let's get on board with the video train and listen to Tamara talk about how you might be able to improve the return on investment and your success in marketing yourself as an attorney. So without any further delay, here's our friend, Tamara Thompson. Tamara Thompson, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's awesome to be here.
Well, I am thrilled to have somebody who I've followed for quite some time on social media. I'm literally a stalker. I've been of yours for a while.
Social media lurking.
Yeah, exactly. So I finally got the courage up to reach out to you about being on the show. So I know a little bit about your background, but if you would, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, so I own a professional creative video production company, which connects through compelling stories for brand trailers, you know, event trailers. We hold luxury video retreats for popular content. We help on the side of really helping people broadcast their authority and build their influence online through professional creative content. And yeah, it's funny because I got started with video. It actually started way back when I was age 7. My dad bought a camcorder and we would record my little baby brother that came into the house at, when I was 7. And it kind of just stuck with me. It was more of a hobby along the way, all the way through high school and originally through college. And then I switched gears later in life. And when YouTube came out in 2005, and I literally was doing more of like fun, silly video content, you know, because YouTube came out, nobody knew what to really use it for, right? And then it shifted about 4 years later. I went back to film school in 2009 and went to the Seattle Art Institute and graduated there and started my own company, Serious Take Productions. But that first had to build on the side. So it was my side hustle in the beginning while I was also a video production manager, producer for a corporate company, which catered to physical therapists, chiropractors, massage therapists, fitness specialist on an educational platform for continuing education. So I came in and I was the creative that really pushed their like thoughts a little bit differently from recording hour and 20 long minutes, you know, content, just talking heads to adding multiple camera angles to saying, hey, you should show like the different exercises and the techniques that you guys use as, you know, chiropractors and what muscle group are we talking about? Let's bring in 3D animation, motion graphics and things to keep people actually interested and break these segments down into 20 minute segments versus like an hour and a half content. Cause people don't want to sit there and watch long videos, you know, that are fairly boring or, you know, just doing it for educational practice, you know, but like, let's keep it engaging, right? And creative. And that's really what I did. And so I started with that team back in the day and basically helped them. There was only 8 of us at the time. And now they're the number one in their industry in Seattle. They have over 95 employees now.
Wow.
So yeah, I helped them grow that. And then I moved on to another company where I was main producer for the clients were Microsoft and Starbucks for some of the larger accounts. And then I pushed forward into my own company after that and just never looked back basically. So well, always been a creative director.
And your company's called Serious Take Productions?
Yes. Yeah, so the reason it came into play was because of the fact that when I shifted that thought of creating these silly videos on YouTube, I wanted people to take me more seriously, right. But I also wanted brands to take their business seriously. So that's really where that name came from.
Well, it's an interesting branding phrase there because it does exactly that. You know, mm-hmm. It does tell the audience or prospective clients that this is serious business and you mm-hmm. can do very well by exploiting video as a medium. I kind of like to think of video where video is now as being kind of where desktop publishing was about 10 years after it debuted. It was just now, you know, everybody claims they can produce video and can help you generate content for you, but very few are able to really capture the artistic and the messaging aspect of it.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that come in and say they're a video producer, and there's a lot of people that can create content. And I always recommend people to get started, you know, simply using their smartphone, you know, if you have the proper lighting and things like that to get your message and consistent content out there. But there's a point in time where, you know, people do take you more seriously when you do have professional video content and you want to focus on your zone of genius. So why not hire the experts that can help with your messaging? What's the compelling story? Where are the people that are actually, we're tracking the analytics for our clients. So this last couple of years, it's basically puts out the numbers stating that our clients' videos are viewed 9 times longer than the average video, meaning that they actually stay on the videos to the end. Like, what are we doing that's compelling enough to allow people to watch a video, get their attention in 3 seconds, keep their attention at the 10-second mark, and then allow them to finish a complete video segment? Like, that's really what it's about, is being able to be engaging with your videos, and we're able to come in and tell that compelling story in, you know, engaging way. Let's say it's a brand story trailer. Maybe you open with a drone shot of something. Like, we worked actually with an attorney last year where we produced a 24 video segment series. One of them was his brand trailer and the importance of the life and the freedom style of what he's building for his own self and his family. The fact of like opening a drone shot of him and his family over this park, you know, out in La Jolla. Like, it's important to him because the freedom aspect of being able to build his own business, multiple 6 figures. And then, you know, but he's also coaching other, you know, individuals as well. So it's like, what is it that's really important to him? Like showing him his personality, his persona, like what the lifestyle is. Like that's what was important to him, but also creating short video content that's to the point that he can actually share out throughout his course modules. You know, it's like, what is it that people need that they need help with, and they don't necessarily know that they need us at the time, I guess, is what really comes along. And they're like, wow, I didn't really think of it that way. You know, like, yeah. where are you the authority? Who needs to see you now?
Well, the feedback that I get from a lot of attorneys with respect to video is, one, they don't know where to start mm-hmm. and how to get started. And they don't want to put a lot of money into it to, you know, right up front. They want to dip their toe in and see what happens. But the other thing is the pushback I get is that, well, you know, law is a serious business, and that, you know, we need to take the time to explain what we do and how we do it, and that doesn't really lend itself to short video clips. I tend to disagree.
That's the articulate part of it, though. So people want to. Yeah. Or the sense of like being able to release that part. So we put out questionnaires to really formulate what parts of the message that needs to be said, or what is the key point, or where are the pain points that people are going to thrive off of and relate to. So within the first matter of like the first 2 sentences, you need to say something that relates to somebody rather quickly. And so that's really like where people, they're like, I need to get my message out there, you know, and that's where it's like, okay, cool. So that's that. It's not just about the video element. It's about where is the messaging and how that is. And like I said, like people, they may not, they see it as a cost and investment. I see it as an impact ROI right away. Like people start seeing your videos and people start to relate with you. People start to follow you. People start to lurk, you know, whatever that looks like. But they're watching you, no matter if they support you or not. I've had plenty of people be like, oh my gosh, I love your content. All of a sudden I get a random message and they're like, I've been watching you for years. I'm like, really? I'm like, I've never seen a like, comment, or share, you know, or anything, but they're there. It's happening. Yeah, well, people are watching on the sidelines.
Well, that was me. I'm guilty of that. I mean, I've been watching your videos for quite some time, and you're on multiple platforms, so it's easy to get your full Tamara fix in a lot of different ways. But because you're so engaging and it's both informative and fun, and I think, you know, we all could learn more from that, and particularly attorneys in general, who, you know, I think we all take ourselves a bit too serious sometimes, but.
Well, it's funny that you brought that up because I literally posted a video today. So my team uploaded a video today to YouTube, and it was all about like four steps that help more like in the process of like posting engaging content. And number one is being enthusiastic. Like people will make fun of me in a sense of like she's got major, like my mannerisms stand out, my voice, like I talk with my hands, like right. I'll wave at the screen, like within the first like 2 seconds, like, hey guys, this is Tamara here. Like you have to keep your energy level up for people to stay on there. I've seen a lot of people make the mistake of just recording maybe a Zoom interview and it's maybe a side-by-side video clip with someone, an expert, and the ones that kind of lean in and talk with their hands and are more engaging, enthusiastic in their facial expressions. Like people want to stay on there and get to know you more. And then there's people that may just sit with a headset and they're just talking and there's no emotion there. Right. It's just, and that's what our professional videos do, is they keep it flowing. You know, you got to keep it moving. And there's certain types of videos that are a specific purpose, but whatever video it is, even if you're just getting started and you're using your smartphone, like take people on like a trip with you behind the scenes, like get a selfie stick or a smooth, like a selfie gimbal. That's like a smooth stabilizer for your camera. So you can walk and talk without having people like be like shaky, like the Blair Witch Project, you right. know?
Yeah.
So it's just like being different and just posting the content and just being consistent with it. It's just about getting started with people. People critique themselves too much. And then they're like, oh, I recorded like 30 videos and actually the first take was the best. I just recommend just always posting the first one. And you know, if you have naysayers or haters out there, you shouldn't probably be connected with them anyways. You know, they're just people that are envious or they're probably just jealous because they thought to themselves, I can't do that on camera, but everybody can. Everybody can. Record a video and post it. It's just, it's self-confidence.
As the father of a successful stage actress, I know that enthusiasm and attitude and a little makeup can cover up a lot of content mistakes. So,
and your own insecurities at times that people don't even know are there.
Exactly.
Yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. And don't take yourself too seriously. Have some fun with it.
Of course.
Because that's exactly what you do. So let's talk a little bit about attorneys and how they may go about doing this. You said even if you're using just your smartphone, well, that smartphone is pretty darn capable these days in terms of the
powerful
content of the video. I've had some folks tell me that using a microphone, like a lapel microphone, a lavalier mic, is really key to making a quality video. Would you agree with that?
When utilizing a smartphone, yes, you can plug it directly in. If you have a specific phone that needs an adapter, then you can do that. But a lot of people, for the sense of the purpose of just like even walking or on the go, they can use their like headset sure. that has a microphone in it too. So it's more like the on the go, behind the scenes in real life kind of thing. Because some people like that like behind the scenes like style, you know. But yeah, I think it's really important. So like, obviously this interview today, like I'm using a Logitech headset that's directly plugged in that, you know, noise cancellation, like audio is extremely important. So if you're recording content, if you don't have a microphone, you're using your smartphone, you just need to make sure that your actual smartphone is capable of recording, you know, quality sound without having echoes or a large space or whatever that looks like, or a lot of background noise. Like I wouldn't recommend like doing a video in an airport talking to people without sure. a headset in or a microphone. So yeah, a lapel mic is perfect to even just plug into there. But like I said, like certain smartphones, like the iPhones may need an adapter for the actual lapel to actually fit into the mic jack now.
Yeah.
So but yeah, that's one thing that's important is sound.
And if you're doing, let's say, an educational series, a lot of attorneys are doing video FAQs or a weekly series that they're recording from their office. Do you recommend having a set environment, a set studio, so to speak, a set background? And if so, how?
I think it's always good to have something branded, especially if you can control a space. If it's your own office, you know, what I've told people is think of it with an eye source. So if you're in the center, you set your frames within thirds. So if you're in the middle of the frame and you're speaking directly to your smartphone and you're teaching educational content, you aren't going to want something in the upper to the full screen of your left, and then something small that's branded to the right, so that you're not overpowering people, but it kind of shows like a downhill margin. It's kind of cool to be able to like have something like, if you have books and like a bookshelf to your, you know, behind you, and then over in the corner, maybe you have like your, you know, maybe some kind of branded logo or a photo with a client, or, you know, a podcast microphone, whatever it is that you're doing, like you kind of stage it so it's set, you know, and make sure that the lighting's right too, because I think depending on where you're sitting in your office, if you have natural light, you always want to be facing your window so the natural light's coming in. Yep. If that's not an option for you, then you need to have some other light source that's actually, you know, fulfilling the whole area that makes it even out. So if you have like two little lights, LED lights that are positioned 45 degree angles in front of you coming in, that you can control that, that point you might actually want to close your blinds and shades so you don't have like an overexposed side coming in from a window versus like trying to control your space. So you're gonna have to figure out where your office is and like where the windows are. Do you have windows? You know, right. Do you need light? Don't use the lights just above you, because a lot of the time people, you might have like a shine come down. All of a sudden you have like a halo look on your forehead. You know, it really just be considerate of like, what's the lighting like in your office? Is it white walls? Are they painted? But yeah, setting up something with a backdrop that's branded that people are familiar with. They're like, oh, hey, Neil's on again. You know, like here he is. It's his weekly show. Yeah. You know, something that establishes that remembrance.
And he changed that photo behind him.
They're like, who's that photo? Yeah, today?
I've had that. But people are like, what happened to your daughter's photo? It was behind you in the last video. I said,
well, they liked it. They resonated. They're like, oh, he's got family. You want to like make it personable too. Like it's your business, but maybe something fun about you. You know, just think of that way. You know, when you're branding the content in the background.
Yeah. Well, one of them was a cartoon of my family. So there you go.
Nice. Yeah. Like a
character. So, but I think what I also hear you saying, correct me if I'm wrong, is that, you know, don't let setting up the studio and having the lighting and getting a microphone that works properly, don't let that hold you back. Go ahead and get started. And you can develop those items and that aspect along the way.
Exactly. And what people do is they see like the quality of what you're doing. They see the change and the shift as you start producing even, you know, better quality video, you know, or you change things up, or you're excited to share with people that you got a new light kick, or, you know, whatever. Like they see the consistency, because a lot of people aren't perfectionists on that sense. So if it's just specific content to get out there for weekly shows, yeah, just get going with it and then add those elements in there and just be aware of your settings when you get going and see like the ways that you're like, huh, just pay attention to your videos and be like, you know, I didn't really like that lighting for that video, but that gives me an idea for the next one, right? So it's just like preparing yourself to better your videos throughout the experience that you're watching your own content in the end.
Is Facebook Live the best platform to get started with, to dip your toe in? I know eventually you want to move to having your videos on your own YouTube channel with, you know, links in all of your social media to those videos. And we'll talk about that in a second. But just to get started, would you recommend Facebook Live or something else?
Yeah, if your focus really is on Facebook and that's where your audience is, Facebook Lives, currently they are still populating at the top of the feed right now. They'll change the algorithms every so often. All of a sudden, the Facebook Lives aren't as popular, but right now they are. I think it's really going to be a big shift in 2019 by the end of the year. We've been tracking this, and now even LinkedIn is coming up for that. So in the sense of like attorneys and other individuals on the professional side, I really think that you should should be actually looking at LinkedIn at this point, because now they've launched a beta program for influentials on LinkedIn, and they are doing now, which will be released to the public here this year, LinkedIn Live. So it will be very similar, and the video content now on LinkedIn populates higher as well. So if you're looking for it, if your audience really hangs out in a specific space, like, go there. Like, if you've seen more leads and connections come from LinkedIn on the professional side, LinkedIn is now stepping up its game this year, which is intriguing. And YouTube is just a beast, and it's going to overpower everything, because YouTube is actually the only, like, really key, like, SEO, like, search engine optimizer. Like, it's going to be crazy because of the fact that now YouTube has YouTube Live, YouTube's live streaming. It has, now they're starting, what is it called? I just read this article. They're doing stories. So they're doing, like, YouTube stories that's competitive with Instagram and Facebook. Right. And so I'm really, like, focusing on YouTube this year. Facebook is kind of my jam, but I'm more focusing on shifting more to YouTube because of the fact that there's a lot of people on there, and they're projecting over another 3 to 5 million subscribers to join YouTube over the next 5 years. And so it's going to be pretty crazy. It's very competitive, but if you're consistent with the content, you know how to do proper keyword search using different platforms there to find that out, for, like, finding out keywords that are searchable that can actually rank you higher. I think YouTube is going to be a very big competitor. So right now, the space is very competitive with these three platforms, for especially the industry you're in.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM and case management tool I've been using for years to manage my practice. If you're feeling swamped trying to keep track of cases and clients, but you don't want to pay the hefty price tag of something like Salesforce or other legal-specific tools, I recommend you give Daylight a look. Daylight helps me prioritize my day. It helps me keep track of my clients, cases, documents, emails, calendars, to-dos, and reminders, all in one place. The case management part of Daylight makes it really easy to organize all the details and work for each case, so things are done on time. The best part of Daylight is that it lets you work offline. You don't need an internet connection to pull up case details or info about a client like with other CRMs and case management tools. And new in Daylight is their Zapier integration, so you can automate things like pulling new leads from a contact form on your website right into Daylight. And for techies like me, you know that integration with tools like Zapier is really fundamental to making something like Daylight work the way you want it to work. So to learn how Daylight can help you grow your practice, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first month subscription. That's Daylight by Market Circle. The legal environment is more competitive than ever, and small law firms are feeling the pinch. With over 1.3 million attorneys in the United States and counting, it can be hard to stand out from the crowd. And that's why Spotlight Branding helps lawyers become unforgettable. Spotlight Branding is a different kind of internet marketing company. They don't put their clients on the SEO hamster wheel, and they don't ask them to burn thousands of dollars on speculative pay-per-click advertising. Instead, they're focused on the fundamentals of legal marketing that have worked for dozens upon dozens of years. They use the internet to build a premium brand for solo and small firm lawyers like myself, and they put systems in place to create top-of-mind awareness, allowing their clients to maximize the referrals and repeat business. It's the smart way to grow your law firm. To get more information, visit spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur, and receive a special gift from our friends there at Spotlight Branding. Spotlight Branding, helping lawyers become unforgettable. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895 7829 or visit paulruby.com/lawentrepreneur. I just read that YouTube is the second largest search engine, at least in the U.S., behind Google.
I think it's in the world now. I'll have to research that. I can't quote it, but I'm pretty sure I was talking with one of my friends. He's a video influencer on YouTube, and I think they're stating
most people don't think of YouTube as a search engine, but that's exactly what people are doing. They're going online and searching for a video that says, you know, how do I play this song exactly on my guitar?
And you can do the same thing for business. Like, right. how do I, as an attorney, do X, Y, Z? How do I do this? How do I do this? And then the thing is you're able to go in there and start typing in the search engine and trends start popping up. And then basically you can create your content from YouTube based on the popular trends in your industry. Exactly. That's what's super powerful with YouTube versus something like Facebook or LinkedIn. You can use the hashtags and search things. But right now, I really believe that YouTube is just becoming this major platform that's just going to compete with the masses. I mean, they're all competing and they're all valuable.
So when does then post-production editing become important?
So I think post-production's important on the side of you're doing creative content. Maybe you're adding motion graphics, you're making your content a little bit more visually appealing. Maybe you have...
I'm thinking of things real simple, just like putting my name and logo, you know, on the front of the video, and maybe the phone number on the back end, just some kind of still kind of production aspects like that.
Yeah, so something as simple as a lower third with your name in it and your like a PNG formatted of a logo in the corner. I mean, those things like simplified if you use YouTube, but you can already drop those things right in from there directly, which is then you don't have to edit anything because they have the post-production editor within YouTube. Something like Facebook or, you know, LinkedIn. I mean, I would just say if it's something super basic like that, just hire somebody off of like Fiverr or get a virtual assistant that can, you know, produce. Like, you have obviously producers for your podcast. Do the same thing with your videos. Like, basically send them the file. They'll drop that in for you. If you can feel like you can do it yourself, you could do something like Camtasia or iMovie or something simple where you could do a quick tutorial. Because honestly, it's not that hard to just, once you learn it, drop it, export it, upload it.
So for a techno geek like myself, I mean, I went and explored iMovie in depth. And
it's very easy tool.
It's an easy tool to use. And the amount of post-production editing that you can do is staggering in iMovie. So, but you know, again,
it's very similar to Final Cut. It's
exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But if you're not a techie and you don't feel comfortable doing that,
they outsource it all the way.
All the way. Because, and as you said, if you use a resource like Fiverr, you know, this can be done very economically and quickly.
For the simple short ones, because your smartphone, if you're doing a short clip, then be aware of like the resolution that you're recording in. So if you're recording in, I always recommend at least 1080p at 24 frames per second, if you have that marked on your smartphone. But if you do consider switching it to 4K resolution, which is a larger file size, just be aware if you don't have like unlimited gigabytes to always back up your footage from your videos, drop them in Dropbox or somewhere like Google Drive and keep those stored somewhere safe so that you can just pass those off to somebody in a digital drive. Yeah, that's very basic for something like that. On the size of what we create for our clients, it's a lot more of a detailed process, like storyboarding, shot lists, like what's this angle, how many cameras, what's the music tone, like we're licensing music, you know. So it's a very different aspect for those that when they're ready to do that.
We're going to work up to that issue here in a second, but I want to also ask you, what are your views on scripting ahead of time? For again, we're thinking about attorneys who are doing educational content primarily. Do you find an advantage for them to be following a script, or have some bullet points that they can ad lib to, or what do you find is the most engaging?
Sure. So I think it's really personal preference, because there can be people like I'm a speaker and I speak from stages a lot myself. And so like you can put something up on the screen, like an image or a picture or a few bullet points that's going to cue me. And I know exactly what I want to talk to. I know what story I want to go into. I know what point I want to get across, but that's me personally. We work with clients that basically write out their entire script. They pass it off to our team to review. We make suggestions and tweaks, and then they're able to use basically their own smartphone for their own content videos, use their own basically teleprompter app to actually feed them the content so they can just read it right off the screen as it's recording their video. So it really is a personal preference. I'm more of an authentic on the go, like I know my stuff kind of person. And there's other people that want to be prepared and they just don't feel like they have the ability to continue like without an actual script, which I know full well that when you talk to these people individually and their passion comes through and their stories come out like that when a conversation, but it could be the fear of the camera or comfortability. So it really is a personal preference.
Yeah, I know some folks who've started off with scripted sessions, and then once they gain that level of comfort, they're able to go a little more casual.
Exactly. You can always shift your model. Yeah.
Sure. So then when do we need to step up? When's the time to move away from, you know, just doing the simple, easy iPhone type video and start to consider a resource such as yourself and your company?
Yeah, so there's different times for everybody, obviously. I think people either get to a plateau in their business and they're really wanting to switch something up. Maybe they want a professional TV show, what they want to do interviews, maybe it's behind the scenes, maybe they want to broadcast their authority in different ways, from speaking on stages, you know, there's a speaker trailer aspect, maybe they want to get on more media shows like that. You have to think about having a professional trailer or reel that really, you know, is an asset that you can send out to show people, as well as, you know, even brand trailers. Like, people want to know about you. They can come to a website and they can see a quick video clip and hear you, you know, but when people do come to your website and they do see, you know, a professional video, they do take you more seriously. We've had multiple clients come back to us and say, you know what, like, you know, ROI within the first, you know, day, like 12 hours, because of the fact that somebody saw the video that our team produced and bam, they automatically wanted to work with them. Or people will come to a website. We've had multiple people say like, hey, Tamara, like, this is what I've heard from people, is they'd come down to their last two choices, you know, online. They found like myself and another individual in my industry, and both websites were beautiful. All the imagery was beautiful, but they decided based on the video that they saw me, they connected with me personally. They liked my, you know, personality, whatever that seemed like. They liked the story and the compelling introduction that I shared with my messaging. And they said every time that they'll choose them over the competitor because of the video aspect being professional and clean and just showing a clear message of what they do, but also showing them a little bit but behind the scenes or what that looks like or feels like, the emotion. And our team's really good at being able to choose the right music and tone for a vibe, because you have to know that too. You can watch a great video. It could be shot by, you know, a great cinematographer, videographer, but you have to think about like building a company and a team. That here we delegate our team members' strengths into the areas that they excel at. So we have shooters, we have editors that work on the post-production aspect. So we don't bring people into different roles so they can focus on their zone of genius. But you can hire, you know, maybe a videographer or something, but they might not be the best at post-production. You know, right. They might be really great at shooting content, but they might not be the best at messaging. Right. Yeah. And then they might not be able to think, like, they might think, oh, this song's cool, but they like it, but then it might not really match the brand. Like, you want hair to raise on the arms. You want people to bob their head. You want them to tap their feet. They want them to feel emotional. And they're like, oh, I want to connect with Neil, or I want this, you know, like I can see and feel what it looks like to work with this person as they watch that video. It's like, I want to connect with them. So it's like that emotional aspect that that you want for your brand, where people are just instantly called to connect with you. That's really what's powerful on that side. When you feel like you're out of space and you're really like, you think maybe a cost is an investment for yourself, but you really got to think about the ROI and what's coming back at you like tenfold. Like it's just, it does. And it happens with all of our clients. And I call a lot of it impact ROI at the same time, because you're impacting more people and you're being able to share your message to many, and then being able to create short teaser clips from that longer video to draw ads to, as well as share that out. So if people like those short video clips, then they're going to go to the longer message on your website or wherever that is if it's a landing page or it's a funnel or something that you're promoting. So it really is just it's a personal preference. Like, it's a taking a leap of faith within yourself, yeah, knowing that video is extremely powerful and everybody that's building a brand has powerful video at this point.
I usually tell people, as soon as you can afford to hire a better professional than you, do it. And then as soon as you can afford to hire...
So they can focus on their own zone of genius too. Well,
exactly. But you know, you're not... Unless you
hire the experts.
Hire the experts as soon as you can. As soon as you're able to, because you're going to get a much better return and a much better bang for your buck.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you've worked with a lot of folks, a lot of big name folks. And what I get from all of this is that video is not going anywhere. If anything, it's getting bigger and bigger and more important. And if you're not in the video game, you're going to get left behind.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, it's kind of like where websites were 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Again, particularly for attorneys. If you were an attorney 10 years ago and you didn't have a website, or if you still don't have a website, it's hard to understand how you're going to continue to grow or maintain a practice. And I think now, if you're not involved in video in some fashion or another, since people are walking around with these mini computers in their pockets all the time, that you're just going to be behind the curve, and you, mm-hmm. you have to start to address this issue.
Well, and a lot of people are shifting things, especially with the millennials and everyone being online. And, you know, it's one of those things that people are constantly on their mobile devices all day long. They're searching video content. They're scrolling through social media platforms. You have the ability to have massive eyeballs on your business just basically because of the smartphone, you know, and computers. And we didn't have a lot of that, you know, 10 to, you know, 20 years ago. And right. it's changed. And even in the digital space, like even in the attorney field, like you know, you have websites, but now you have the ability to have just specific landing pages, which have your video and your brand. Your website can go to a landing page where it has a specific opt-in to build your email list. And then all of a sudden you have a video series going out and you're building a rapport with people that way. And so it's just being able to think like, where can I use video? You know, it's like social media, ads, email campaigns, you know, send it out for media exposure. I want to get booked on TV shows. Like, what is it that you want to do in your space? Like, you use video for everything, basically, to build that brand.
And I think that's the answer. Where can I use video? Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere you exactly. can think of, just kind of open your mind a little bit. And how could video enhance this? I'll give you a perfect example. I did a survey with some of my past clients. I do estate planning. And mm-hmm. a number of them said, when I asked, what was the biggest obstacle for you getting started doing your estate plan? They said, well, coming to an office, you know, having to take time off from work or manage the kids or whatever. And so they said, we would so much more prefer to get this information online, maybe connect with you via Zoom. Maybe you could send us some video clips about what to do, And I said, well
it's perfect for onboarding processes.
Yeah.
So we use videos for our onboarding processes as well, as long with our questionnaires. And you can put, like, there's certain programs out there that have everything where you can automate everything. And so that it's amazing for what you can do online. And then all of a sudden they have the videos and it's preset so that you don't have to do anything. You know that that's what's shooting off to their email is those videos for onboarding and what to do next.
And you know it's a consistent process and one that you can tweak to achieve your desired results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Tamara, listen, we could spend another hour here talking about video. because it's something that I find to be fascinating, and I just love watching what you do online and all the platforms and spaces that you participate in. But tell our audience a little bit about where they might go to see more of what you and Serious Take Productions have to offer.
Yeah, right now the best to find out more about, like, see examples of our trailers, event trailers, stories, marketing content would be at seriestakeproductions.com, which is our website URL. I'm really focused on building out my Broadcast Your Authority brand, which is connected, powered by Serious Take Productions as well, where I have my own TV show called Broadcast Your Authority, which is on our YouTube, which you can literally check out youtube.com.
Subscribe to, yep.
Yeah, subscribe to the Serious Take Pro is the backslash for that. But yeah, it's just, and if people want to connect, Facebook, you just type in Director Tamara Thompson. You can kind of see more of what I'm doing to help people broadcast their authority through video stages, getting media exposure, and just connecting with other influential people in your space. That's one thing that I'm very grateful for, is being able to reach out and make connections with key influential people who are our clients as well as are my friends, and I speak on their stages. And it's just really about getting yourself out there, and video is definitely the way to do it.
Tell me, just before we go here, I meant to ask you this earlier. You spoke about doing video retreats.
Yes. So
tell me what that's about.
Yeah. So we do Broadcast Your Authority. I have a luxury video retreat for female entrepreneurs that want to broadcast their authority, that want a safe place to come in each quarter and mastermind and help lift up other female business owners.
Wow.
That's something that I'm really passionate about. So right now we just wrapped up one last January, and we had over a dozen female entrepreneurs come in and broadcast their authority. They're going through their fulfillment stage right now, and they're just like in awe and wow that they basically came through, and they want to continue the program, which is becoming a mastermind as well, to help people really sit in and we listen in to see like what their biggest ask is, where their biggest struggles are and their pain points for the marketing of their business, and which platform they want to focus on. So we're really building out the Broadcast Your Authority brand through a TV show. You'll see myself interviewing influential female entrepreneurs as well as our clients and positioning them as the authority. And we have our next retreat in April in La Jolla for female business owners that are really interested in sharing their story that way, or producing content on site, but also connecting with other people in a community as well.
That sounds outstanding. I know a number of people that would love to take advantage of that. So, Tamara, thank you ever so much for taking the time out of your day. I know you're extremely busy. I'm grateful and thankful to you for not blowing off a Facebook stalker as just being that.
And, thank you, Neil. No, I appreciate the invite. Very much gratitude for you.
So yeah, thank you. So I do appreciate you being here today on The Law Entrepreneur. Once again, I'd like to thank our sponsors for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur, Ruby Receptionists. They, along with our old friends at Spotlight Branding, as well as Market Circle, the makers of Daylight, are the ones that make this podcast possible, and for them, I am very grateful. So please be sure to visit their websites. You can find the locations in the show notes for this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. Or you can go to our website, thelawentrepreneur.com, and navigate to the resources page, and there you can find a way to get to each of their websites. So please visit their websites, sign on as clients. I'm a client now of all three, and I think you'll be happy you did so. So that's Ruby Receptionists, Spotlight Branding, and Market Circle, the makers of Daylight.